It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You will get first look at all of the upcoming guests, as well as our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts and our most recent op-eds. It is the day after Election Day. It is November 4th. We've got a great panel in studio. Here we have our researcher for the show, Patty Kergan. She's an author, researcher. It's great to have you here, Patty.
Thank you for having me, Kim.
And Rick Turnquest, author, blogger, and getting into the video business as well. And to advancefreedom.com is where people can find you. It's great to have you here, Rick.
Yeah, great to be here, Kim. I wish we had better results to talk about, but we'll have a good show today to kind of dissect what's going on nationally and here in Colorado.
That's for sure. And producer Steve, you're going to be weighing in as well on many of these issues. And I get to work with you, a great team, and that's you, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And to each of you listeners, thank you. I appreciate you immensely. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Producer Steve, it's great to have you here as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, we look at these issues, my friends, as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And as we go through the issues, then the propositions and amendments that were on the Colorado ballot, it's ugly here in Colorado right now, but we're going to give you a recap on what has happened there. We'll talk a bit about national in this first segment, but before we get to this, this is a little long on our inspiration wisdom, but I remember this story about Benjamin Franklin. And at the age of 81, he was the oldest and most widely accomplished delegate to the 1787 Constitutional Convention. His presence represented the final public service in a remarkable career as scientist, author, diplomat, and statesman. His reputation in Europe, wrote John Adams from Paris, was more universal than that of Leibniz or Newton, Frederick or Voltaire, and his character more beloved and esteemed than any or all of them. Although he was physically feeble, all his speeches were read by a colleague. Franklin attended most of the sessions and was troubled by the recurring signs of opposition to the draft Constitution. In a notable address toward the close of the convention, he gently urged dissenting delegates to put aside their legitimate criticisms. He himself had several, and recognized the version before them as the best compromise possible. On the final day, as the last delegates were signing the document, Franklin pointed toward the sun on the back of the convention president's chair, that was George Washington's chair. Observing that painters had found it difficult to distinguish in their art a rising sun from a setting sun, he went on to say, "I have often, in the course of the session, looked at that sun behind the president without being able to tell whether it was a rising or setting. But now at length I have the happiness to know it is a rising and not a setting sun." And I was thinking about this story as we were going into the election yesterday, because if Joe Biden does win, I'm very concerned about America. Patty Kergan.
I'm right there with you. I look at the policies that's been espoused by both him and his running mate, and I do not think that it will be a very prosperous America that we'll be handing down to our grandchildren.
What's your thoughts, Rick Turnquest?
Well, I have to agree. I spent the day yesterday listening to Ben Shapiro and Dan Bongino talking about what a Biden-Harris administration would look like, and the outlook is pretty grim for America if they happen to win the presidential election. And it just blows my mind that so many people could vote for somebody like Joe Biden, who's clearly, you know, in the grips of you know, advanced cognitive difficulties. And, you know, I believe it's elder abuse, actually, that his family and his wife and his handlers are putting him forward to run for president with him in the state that he's in. But he's not mentally capable, and the policies he's proposing, he's been pushed far to the left by the Bernie Sanders wing of the party, and it's just not going to be good for America if he wins.
And Steve, you grew up in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is still they haven't called it yet, and you said that they quit voting, or they quit counting votes in the middle of the night. What was it with that, Steve?
Well, that was the question. I mean, I'm quoting Michael Pelka from 2 hours ago in his show, that the fact that it was known that they should stop counting somewhere at midnight, whatever, and would continue again today. And the question that was immediately raised is, why do they stop counting? Let's move on.
I have all kinds of things going through. I can see cars finding ballots in the back of their cars.
My thoughts on yesterday, it was an X-ray into the soul of America. And when I find out this morning that all four members of the squad are reelected, it doesn't speak well to the soul of this country.
Well, on that note, Steve, there was a BLM activist. Her name is Cori Bush from Missouri, and she won her election, and she's going to become the fifth squad member.
Oh, that's a lot of great news there, Patty Kurgan.
Thanks, Patty.
Yeah, where are we right now? Steve, you thought that you saw something that had Trump at 268 electoral votes. Is that correct?
Well, I'm sitting here toggling between Fox News, and this site is called electoral-vote.com. Right now they show Trump at 268 over Biden 238.
Well, that means he needs two more, and that goes down to every vote counts. Because each one of these states with the Electoral College is so important. Rick Turnquist, you're frantically looking at, are you finding anything at 268 as well?
Well, I just looked at the site that Steve talked about, and I do see that Trump 268, Biden 238. I've been following the Wall Street Journal website, and they have Trump at 213 and Biden at 238. And the ABC News has Biden at 225 and Trump at 213. So I guess it all depends on which website you look at. So far Trump is ahead, or Biden's ahead, but Trump is leading in the states that are still open. And, those states are all leaning towards Trump. So I believe that we still have reason to hope there.
It is right. Curious, Patty, that they haven't called those states yet.
Correct. Now, I was looking at Fox, and they're in agreement with Biden at 238 and Trump at 213. And Fox then says it's leaning towards Trump, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia for 67 electoral votes. So that would give Trump the win at 280. In Wisconsin and Nevada was given to Biden, and that would put him at 254.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll know by the end of today. And I'm just praying for a Donald Trump win, because I really think that I'm not sure that people understand these policies, and then the fact that the whole Hunter Biden, the China collusion, the Ukraine collusion, all of that has been hidden by the mainstream media. In some ways, it'll be a miracle, I think, Patty, if Donald Trump wins. But I think we need a miracle.
We need a miracle.
We do need a miracle, and that's another thing that is mind-blowing about this is that, everything that the Democrats spent 2 years accusing Donald Trump of doing, they are guilty of themselves. There's actual corruption. There's actual quid pro quos going on with regard to Ukraine. There's actual payoffs, to the Biden family. Yeah, to the Biden family. His income went from, about $400,000 a year while he was vice president to, millions of dollars after he left office. And, he doesn't own a business. He hasn't written any books that I know of. I mean, it's clear.
He's not a great speaker.
Yeah.
Write a book.
Well, it's clear that people call it the Biden crime family. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but they clearly have leveraged their name to bring in bags of cash from countries that are not super friendly to America. So it really is disturbing that so many people felt that voting for Joe Biden was the right thing to do.
I think that we all are having a gut check today, particularly here in Colorado. I think about what we do every day here on the radio, to talk to people, to try to bring truth and light to this. And I know that a lot of people are listening and that that is important to them. But my gosh, Patty, we have so much more work to do.
We do, and that's where we have to go with that is the grassroots activists. I think that if Colorado is going to find its soul and become productive, stand for individual rights and liberty, we have to go to the grassroots activists. I think that they have been more successful than, I hate to use the word leadership because I don't feel that we do have a strong leadership here in the state of Colorado on the Republican side. And we have to look somewhere else because we're using the same consultants election after election, spending hundreds of millions of dollars, and we're getting the same results, which is not positive.
That's the definition of insanity, is trying the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And I, you know, I'm not going to, a lot of times we talk about, you know, we want to blame the leadership or we want to blame the candidates. But I talked about this after the 2018 election. I wrote about this on my blog, too, advancedfreedom.com. I called it the progressive advantage. And they have a permanent infrastructure in place here in Colorado and nationally that that enables them to win these elections. They've got a deep bench. And another thing that I think that is a problem we face in Colorado is Republicans spend a lot of time and energy fighting with each other instead of fighting against the left. And I'm frankly sick of it. And we need to figure out a way that we can all work together to reclaim our state from further,
decline. Mm-hmm. Steve, you have a comment?
Well, I was thinking as Rick was listing off all the issues surrounding, the negative issues surrounding Joe Biden, and right away I went over to Mr. Hickenlooper, and we all know he was ethically challenged based on, you know, a lot of different things that point to his ethical dilemmas. And I'm thinking, in terms of the voters, what does it take for you not to vote for somebody? Whether you're talking about Biden and all the things that he's apparently a part of, and or even John Hickenlooper for that fact, what does this person have to do for you not to vote for him?
Well, I think that people have gotten so callous. I remember talking with young people saying, oh, I'm not going to vote because my vote doesn't count. Well, we realize that actually your vote does count. And then they like to put, oh, all politicians are the same. When I was serving on city council, when people said all politicians or all elected, I don't like the term elected officials. They're elected representatives. And when people would say, oh, they're all the same, it's like, no, they are not the same. We have had some excellent candidates that we have featured on the show throughout this election cycle. And I was thinking about it, and I think we probably should rest a couple of days. And I think these people should step forward, and I think they should run again. And I think that we should figure out a strategy. And I think that take the rest of the week off. And I think many of these people should step forward and run again. And we need to get behind them and go to work because we can't give up. We just cannot give up. Patty, do you have a quick comment?
Well, it goes back to what Rick said. We have to have a permanent infrastructure here in the state of Colorado. I can guarantee you that the Democratic Party, they're taking a few days off. Come Monday, they're looking at 2 years from now. There is no doubt in my mind. Where the Republican Party is probably like, okay, well, we'll worry about this in about another 6 months to a year. They don't, it goes back to what I'm saying with the activists. The activists, if we keep them engaged, they will work and they will continue to be what, you know, strive for the individual liberty that they worked for this election. And the momentum's there. Instead of dropping it, let's build on that and keep going.
And another thing that is interesting to me is the complete enthusiasm I saw for Donald Trump here in recent weeks in Colorado, with the honking waves and the car caravans. You know, they're pulling out of Bandimere as people are pulling into Bandimere, and they've got a complete loop around the city. I actually, after I saw that, I actually thought Colorado might go for Trump. And, you know, it is amazing. I got to stop saying I know. It's amazing to me that, just did it again.
We all have these filler words, and Rick and I, we were chatting about it, and I have filler words as well. And in fact, we are working on not using them. And then once we use them, we lose our train of thought.
Right. It's difficult to formulate a thought and talk at the same time. And I think that's why we use those words. But I saw a lot of enthusiasm for Trump, and I'm surprised that it didn't materialize into more votes.
I think we have great opportunity here. We're going to go to break. In studio with me is researcher and author Patty Kergan, and author and blogger Rick Turnquest. You can find all of his writings and everything at toadvancefreedom.com. Producer Steve is weighing in. We're going to be going through the results of the election. Before we do that, though, one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. They have all kinds of different specials: game day specials, to-go specials, party pack to-go if you're going to have a bunch of people over, lunch specials, and Wednesdays are Wings Day. Maybe some wings might be a good thing to try to get you through this day today. But for more information, go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. We'll be right back with Patty Kergan, producer Steve, and Rick Turnquest.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And be sure to go over to Facebook and give us a like. And at the website, sign up for our weekly newsletter. In studio with me is Patty Kergan, our researcher. She's an author. It's great to have you here, Patty.
Thank you, Kim.
Producer Steve. And Rick Turnquest, who is an author, a blogger, and you can find all of his wisdom at toadvancefreedom.com.
And some of it on your site, your website, kimmunson.com as well.
This is true. Both of you have written some fine, fine op-eds. And you can go to my website and just put in their last name, Kergan, K-U-R-G-A-N, or Turnquest, and all those pieces will come up. Let's talk about national results. Why don't we start with you, Rick? What are you looking at there?
Well, I'm looking at the Fox News website and just the results nationally. Senate balance of power looks like it's still pretty evenly between the Republicans and Democrats, and same with the House. House balance of power says 188 Democrats, 181 Republicans. So it doesn't seem like we're going to have a huge shift. I think that the indication so far that the Senate's going to remain in the hands of the Republicans, and because the Democrats need to pick up four, and I'm not seeing that they've done that. The House, we already knew, was going to stay in the control of the Democrats, but hopefully we've picked up a few seats. Unfortunately, as Steve mentioned, the squad has been reelected, and as Patty mentioned, a new squad member's out there. But we're in pretty good shape as far as the Senate's concerned, I think.
Okay. Patty, you have some definite results here on the Senate.
Right. So Tom Tillis from North Carolina got elected. Lindsey Graham, it wasn't as close as they predicted. He did win in South Carolina. Joni Ernst from Iowa did win back her seat. And Tommy Tuberville, he was an Auburn football coach, and he defeated Democrat Doug Jones in the Senate from the state of Alabama.
Okay.
And then we do have a definitive runoff in Georgia for the Senate seat, and that's between, they had a an appointment during the term, and Senator Kelly Loeffler was appointed, and now they have the election, so it's between Kelly and the challenger, Governor Raphael Warnock.
Okay. Patty, do you find it interesting? Georgia, I think we thought it was more red than it actually has resulted in. Were you a little surprised with that at all?
No. If you look at Atlanta as a big city, just like you have Chicago, New York City, there's a heavy concentration, and that's where their Democratic votes come from.
Okay.
Who was the lady who ran for the governor's office in
Abrams.
Georgia?
Stacey Abrams.
Yeah, yeah, I saw a quote from her yesterday. I think we can deliver Georgia for Joe Biden. Like, yeah, okay.
Oh, okay. You also did some national propositions. California, you found pretty interesting, Patty.
Correct. So I think it was back in the late 70s, California had Proposition 15, and it made their real estate taxes stable so that they wouldn't have a drastic increase. And this year they were trying to repeal it, and the repeal did not work. It came back as a no. As of a little bit past midnight last night, it was 51.5% no. California had a new Proposition 22 this year, and it became valid, and it will allow, this is a big win for small businesses. It allows Uber and Lyft drivers to continue working as independent contractors. So it does bring validity and to the independent contractors, and that is a big issue right now across the United States, mm-hmm. trying to make all independent contractors an employee of a firm. And I'm from Chicago, and I was very interested in their Illinois Fair Tax Amendment. So this would actually be a graduated
income tax.
A progressive tax. And it as of last night, around 1:30 in the morning, was a no at 55%, which was good to see. I'm sure many of my friends had a great relief of sigh when they woke up this morning and saw that.
Isn't it interesting that even in these blue states, that people have actually voted to keep their taxes lower? Rick, I find that so interesting, and even here in Colorado, we're going to talk about a little bit later. But it seems to me like we have a messaging challenge if, in fact, we are electing people that want to raise our taxes significantly, but yet at the ballot box, we say, no, we don't want to pay more in taxes. Now, I do find it interesting that a couple of the big tax increases here in Colorado, it looks like they may pass because they think somebody else is going to pay for it. But when people think that I'm going to have to pay for it, they say no, Rick.
That is interesting. That's what I call the Colorado conundrum, because we continually vote down tax increases at the ballot box, and yet we continue to elect big government progressives who, if it weren't for the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, they would have imposed a progressive tax system on us with top rate of, who knows, 20%. You know, they seem to try to outdo California, which has a 13.3 top rate, which is going to go up to 16.8, I believe. So, you know, it's definitely, people are voting with their wallets when it comes to direct taxation on them. But when they think that the government's going to use force to take money from other people to fund government programs, I guess a lot of people are okay with that.
I want to go back. What did you say that the California income tax rate's going to be?
The top rate is 13.3, and I've seen that it's going to go up to 16.8.
My gosh. Patty, last night you and I had pizza together and watched some of the results. And you said that Candace Owens is leaving California and is moving to Nashville.
Correct. And she's going to be with the Daily Wire.
And the Daily Wire. And all those guys, Ben Shapiro and Andrew Klavan, they all just recently moved out of California to Nashville. What is going to happen? What's going to happen here in Colorado if people start to leave? First of all, if you're going to leave, you need to call Karen Levine with Remax Alliance to sell your house. But what do you think is going to happen, Rick Turnquist?
Well, I don't know. I know a few people who've left Colorado already since 2018. And I know people, a lot of people that talk about it. You know, I'm a Colorado native. I grew up here. I've spent most of my life here. I have no intention of going anywhere and letting the progressive drive me away. But we clearly have a lot of work to do here in Colorado. And I think we need to start with building our own infrastructure, our own Emerge type program to train candidates to run and win. And several other things, you know, in terms of tapping into national money networks like the Democrats have. But you know, it's clear that we've got an uphill battle ahead of us here, but I'm not ready to give up the fight.
Well, I'm not ready to give up the fight either. And I think we have Jason McBride on the line with us with Presidential Wealth Management. And I know that he's not going to give the fight up either. Or maybe we have somebody else here. Never mind. We'll wait just a minute there. Patty, I agree with Rick that I think that we're going to need to roll up our sleeves and go to work and fight. And as you mentioned, I think that we need to start. We're going to take the rest of the week off, and then I think we need to start next Monday.
Absolutely.
And Do we have Jason McBride now? Okay, hey Jason.
Hey, good morning.
What's your thoughts about everything this morning?
Well, I'm feeling a little bit, you know, beat up here in Colorado. That's for sure. I was shocked at the percentage that Colorado went for Biden versus Trump. I didn't realize that we'd gone, you know, as far to the left as apparently we have. And as far as the propositions and the amendments, you know, I think the only one that that we managed to get was, you know, having to be a citizen to vote. But I wonder what the qualification will be. Will they just say, "Are you a citizen?" Yes, I am. Okay, you can vote.
Oh, that's a good point. I'm not sure about what that's going to be exactly.
You know, I got to tell you the Proposition 115. I'm shocked. I am shocked that right now they're showing, you know, right now, as far as I can see, 59% of people voted no on Proposition 115. We may be much crueler than just 17 people, Kim.
Yes, and you're referring to the 17 Democrats that we had on our voter's guide that Rick and I put together, the 17 House Democrats that voted to let people die alone. There were so many mistruths on this Proposition 115, and I agree with you. The idea that you can have an abortion up until the day of birth, I don't think that people really have thought about what that really means exactly, Jason McBride, but it's absolutely cruel. And if we don't care about life, when we talk about the American idea of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, if we don't protect that, then what have we become? And I don't think I like what we are becoming if that's the case, Jason McBride.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, some of these others, the family leave, the Gallagher Amendment, you know, the verbiage of them was so flim-flammy and misleading where, you know, it could make it sound like you were getting something good when you're really not. But, I'm sorry, 115 was very, very straightforward, and it's very... I'm flabbergasted on that one and shocked and disappointed. As far as the presidential election, you know, that's still pretty worrisome, Kim. You know, I started wondering last night, you know, I texted you and I was pretty excited, and then all of a sudden they stopped counting the votes. I noticed North Carolina just wouldn't move. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'll tell you, I'm very concerned about what they could do with North Carolina and Georgia, because they're both so close. And I don't know how late you stayed up, but I was up, you know, probably till 2 or 2:30. And it looks to me like pretty much every vote in Wisconsin and Michigan that they have found and counted since they stopped counting last night has gone for Biden.
Yeah, imagine that. Just imagine that, Jason McBride.
So, I think Trump got it pretty right. You know, he said, you know, we were ready for a big celebration, and all of a sudden they called off the election and stopped counting because they knew we were going to win. And that's exactly what it looks like happened to me, is they said, gosh, stop counting. This isn't going our way. We got to figure out what to do, and we'll come back a little bit later once we've implemented whatever the plan was.
Well, we need to pray for a miracle here, and that for truth to win out on this, Jason McBride.
I've done is rant, huh? You had me come on. I haven't given any advice or anything at all. I've just ranted. Well, right now I could tell you the futures are up. They swung back and forth like crazy last night, and it did seem like every time things were breaking Trump's way that the futures for the market were happy, and anytime something would happen, you know, like when Arizona went to Biden, they were unhappy. So, you know, the market is saying it, at least right now, it would rather keep Trump in there.
Well, I would too. Jason McBride, thank you so much for sharing your perspective this morning.
Sorry if I went over, Kim.
Not a problem. We will talk tomorrow then, and hopefully we'll have good news. And between now and the end of the year, I'd recommend sitting down with Jason, his colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management, and doing a discovery session. That phone number over there is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Patty Kergan, researcher and author, is here in studio, as well as Rick Turnquist, author and blogger at toadvancedfreedom.com, and producer Steve. We're going to go through some of these Colorado ballot questions when we return.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
And I'm proud to be an American.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter there. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. We're going through election results here. And Patty Kergan is in studio, as well as Rick Turnquist, producer Steve. Jason McBride had a very interesting point. He said that they decided to stop counting once it looked like Donald Trump was going to win. What do you think about that, Rick Turnquist?
Well, I think, and I thought this last night as I was watching the returns, you know, in a couple of states where it was really close, I think that, and they were not refusing to call it, but I felt like if it had been leaning towards Biden, they would have called it. And so they just didn't want to, because, and they held off on calling Florida for a long time, because they, obviously Florida is a key state, but also I just felt that they didn't want to call it for Trump because they don't want him to win. And I feel like there's some room for electoral reform in this country. And obviously I still, you know, I support the Electoral College and keeping that in place. But, you know, I think we should make Election Day a national holiday. Everybody gets the day off. Polls open at 6 a.m. They close at 6 p.m. No counting late votes. You know, if you're in line at when the polls closed, of course you get to vote. But early voting's good, you know. Mail voting, sure, we can talk about that, but
absentee.
But we need to have some serious election reforms take place in this country. Pennsylvania, they don't even start counting votes until the morning of Election Day, and so they won't be able to report their results. You know, that's just not going to.
And then they stop counting in the middle of the night.
And then they stop counting. So it's clearly, you know, clearly it needs, in order for elections to have legitimacy, they've got to be fair, they've got to be impartial, they've got to be objective, they've got to be free from fraud and suppression. And, you know, when both sides don't trust the results because of, you know, shady things like that and sketchy things going on, then it undermines the very viability of our constitutional republic.
But Patty Kergan, it seems like there's one political party that is moving towards the, I want to call them shenanigans, and the other political party isn't. And it's kind of beyond me. If the political party that I was supporting had to resort to cheating to win, I'm not going to be really supporting that party. They need to be able to compete in the battle of ideas with the American people to push forward our policies and our ideas. And if you have to use shenanigans to win, then I honestly don't understand how good, well-meaning people can support that political party.
Coming from Chicago, as you're speaking, my brain just goes to the Nixon-Kennedy election, where Mayor Daley had many dead people vote. And he actually admitted it before his death that he did cheat. And I think it's just gone on for so many years, people have just taken it as a matter of fact. They don't even question it.
Well,
and it's just getting dirtier and dirtier as time goes on and a greater population gets sucked into it.
And that's the difference between our side and their side is we want people to be free and we want to leave people alone. They think that they know what's best for everybody and they're prepared to use any means to achieve their vision of what life should be like in America. And it's been that way for decades. It's not a new thing. And we just need to, you know, put in some place some reforms to mitigate the risk that stuff can take place.
Well, voting is a responsibility, and this idea that people just automatically receive a ballot and that they're automatically registered to vote when they go get their driver's license, we need to have, there needs to be more responsibility. And the other thing, think about this, is all of these people that have come into these homeless camps. Now, John Hickenlooper, when he was mayor, said that we were going to get rid of homelessness in Denver. Well, you see what's going on. We have tents everywhere. But also think about it. These people can come in and they can vote right here in Colorado. And then it could be ballot harvested. We probably should have had somebody watching to see if there was ballot harvesting with these homeless encampments. But it's put in place a situation that really can affect these elections. Let's go ahead and jump over here, though, to the questions on the ballot. I'm absolutely astonished. I thought we were going to be 11 for 11, Rick Turnquest. Not so quickly.
Right. I was hoping at least for, you know, 8 of 11, but it apparently is not going to be the case.
Okay. Patty, you've done some excellent research on this. Let's go through these. Amendment B, which is modifying property taxes, basically getting rid of the Gallagher Amendment. Rick, you and I see this as a potential tax increase on residential property, because as your assessed valuation goes up, your taxes will go up as well. It does repeal the 29% rate on businesses, which that is one of the things that we realize, Patty, we've looked at this, that there is a rub between residential and non-residential on how that is calculated, and it's been difficult for small businesses. But when Polis slipped, he said that we need to pass Amendment B to get rid of the Gallagher Amendment because we need the revenue. I thought, aha, we see what's really happening there, Patty.
Correct. About what the governor did say, this amendment got a lot of support from the small business community. Just within the first year, if Gallagher Amendment would have stayed, there would have been an immediate tax hike anywhere of $254 million to $270 million just in the first year.
On small business?
On small businesses. And then within 3 years, it was projected to be $811 million. And small business owners are looking at those kinds of tax increases that would be put upon them and everything else that's going on with being shut down, lost revenue. They're looking at the minimum wage going up, the potential of the paid family leave bill going through, which it did. They're like, I have to vote for this.
But there's no guarantee.
There's no guarantee.
And what I think is actually going to happen is the taxes are going to go up on small businesses. Your big businesses, they go to the economic development offices and they get breaks on their taxes. And they may get like some of their tax revenue back that they've collected. Your little guy doesn't, but there's no guarantee. They repeal that, but they didn't replace it with anything. And then in addition, I think your residential property taxes very possibly may go up as well. I'm very disappointed on this, Rick Turnquest.
I agree. I think that, you know, it was a complex issue. I understand why you know, small businesses supported it, but it's going to be a tax increase for the residential property owners in the state, and that's not a good thing.
Well, I'm hoping on a positive side, since this did go through, that people will be better advocates for themselves in terms of their personal property tax and hold their local officials accountable.
Well, we do know when it gets personal, people do that, but actually it's taken the guardrails off of our residential property taxes, and I'm concerned about that.
Well, then you have to show up to your school board meetings and your local council meetings and let your voice be known and bring 10 of your best friends and neighbors with you so that it's known that, no, don't keep increasing my taxes.
Okay, well said. Let's go to Amendment C, and that is the conduct of charitable gaming. This was basically, we were for this, Rick, because we felt it was a movement towards freedom, but it looks like that will not pass. Right?
C, I believe, is passing. Right?
Oh, C is? Oh, okay.
No. Well, it got 51.6% of the
55.
Vote, but it needs 55% to pass because it's adding language to the state constitution.
Okay. So it's an amendment. So that's okay. So it did not pass.
It did not pass, even though it got more than 50% of the vote. It did not get 55% of the vote.
And that was legislation a few years ago. Not legislation. It was something that was passed, I think.
Right. I think it was like Prop 109, where if you're going to have an amendment to the Constitution, it has to garner at least 55% vote.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one was a sneaky one, though. Remember that? Because if it said if you were going to amend the Constitution of Colorado, you had to get 55%. But if you were going to get rid of something, an amendment that's in the Constitution, TABOR, Colorado's Taxpayer Bill of Rights, an existing amendment, it only needed 50%. I thought that was so stinky, Rick Turnquist.
It is stinky. And that's right. I'm glad you corrected me on that, because I had that amendment C as passing. But you're right. It needed 55%.
Okay.
Okay, so we're 4 for 11. We're
okay.
Par for the course.
Okay, Amendment 76, the citizenship qualification of voters. And that passed handily. It needed 55%. And Patty, when you did this, it was at 62.3%. And I think that's great. What's your thoughts on that, Patty?
I think it's good. Again, how do you have to prove that you're a citizen?
That was Steve's question.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, kudos to our friend George Athanasopoulos, who spearheaded this and got it on the ballot, and now it's passed. So, George, if you're listening, congratulations.
Yes, congratulations. Good work on that. Amendment 77, this is the local voter approval for casino bet limits and games in Blackhawk, Central City, and Cripple Creek, and that passed at 59.4%. So that is, and that's an amendment, and that passed. Going to Proposition EE, we were a strong no on this, Rick, and this was taxes on nicotine products. This goes to the idea that if somebody else has to pay the tax, then, oh, that's okay. This is a $294 million tax increase, and that is passing handily.
That's a great illustration of that principle, that people will be happy to vote tax increases on others. And it's sad because this is going to fall disproportionately on lower income people who tend to be consumers of tobacco and vaping products. So, the progressives talk about, relieving the burden on the less economically advantaged, but then they're happy to pass taxes like this that will increase the taxes that they have to pay.
They don't really care. They just say that they care. We're going to go to break. We're going to continue on with going through the analysis of the questions on the Colorado ballot. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another one of my great sponsors. Knives have been around since the Stone Age, and for good reason. They are functional, they're durable, they're versatile, and they're an essential part of our All-American Toolkit. Castlegate Knife and Tool has a wide array of products there, whether or not you're a collector, military personnel, a sportsman, need some new kitchen knives, or how about that great wedding gift? More information, go to castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We will be right back with Patty Kurgan, producer Steve, and Rick Turnquist.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And sign up for our weekly newsletter. In studio with me is Patty Kurgan and Rick Turnquist. And we are going through some of the issues that we have on the Colorado ballot. Welcome back. Patty, we're talking about Proposition EE, which is the taxes on nicotine products. Before we went to break, you had two important points.
Yes. So the taxes on the cigarettes are supposed to go for, quote, the kids. This is a sin tax. If people truly quit smoking because they can't afford the additional taxes and all the programs for these kids are set up, we now have a loss of revenue. So where will the state go to backfill?
To everybody else.
Exactly. So that's coming. The other thing is, and it was a 50-page bill. And just on that alone, I think people should have voted no because it was very complex. And what a lot of people didn't even realize, the cigarettes will have a set price, and people who sell it will have to sell it for $7 per package, which is a lot. It's almost doubling what they sell for now. And in a couple of years, it will be $7.50. Now we have started doing price controls on cigarettes. My question is, what next will be controlled by the government in terms of pricing?
And that is why, my friends, that we don't pass things on other people that we wouldn't pass on ourselves, because ultimately there's going to be something coming after you as well. We need to stay true to that. And again, you mentioned people go, that's okay to tax somebody else, but ultimately we're going to be taxed there. We were a strong no on that, and that is passing, though, handily, 68.5%. Rick, the next one, Proposition 113, the national popular vote. It looks like that is going to pass.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, and it you know, the reasons why we have the Electoral College are a little complex, I think, and people believe that they want their vote to count, and of course we want every vote to count. But under our current system, our votes in Colorado for who is going to be the president count more thanks to the Electoral College than they would otherwise. Last night, as I was watching the returns for most of the evening, Donald Trump was ahead in the popular vote, and yet Colorado voted to give our electoral votes to Joe Biden. So if this were in place, and if we do indeed join in the National Popular Vote Compact, then we've effectively disenfranchised Colorado from presidential elections going forward. And it's a subversive amendment because it counters the intent of the Constitution. It's not a constitutional amendment. It's an end around the Constitution. And I believe it should be challenged in court as the next step.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very disappointing on that. Next one is Proposition 114, the reintroduction and management of gray wolves. And that is very close, but it looks like that is going to pass as well, Patty.
Correct. Excuse me, correct. And it's a shame. It's going to be west of the Continental Divide. If you looked at the map of who voted for it, it's really the Denver metro area. And they'll have, initially, there will be no effect on them. The gray wolves will probably end up coming east of the Continental Divide at some point.
But that's illegal.
Well, the wolves don't know that. I mean, look at the beetle kill with all the fires going on. It started off on the western side of the state, and people here really didn't care about it. I've been working in that domain a little bit since 2010, and at that time it was about 3 million acres of beetle kill material. And now it's 12 to 15 million acres, and we see all those fires going. The beetle just kept coming east, and same thing with the wolves. They're just going to keep coming east. I don't care where you put it, and it's really going to harm our livestock.
Well, and ultimately, when we go to the grocery store, there's the food. Our food's going to be more expensive, maybe some of the things in shorter supply. And once again, it's astounding to me that we here in the metro area would vote to introduce something that would affect property rights on the western slope. Rick, a quick comment on that?
It's a shame. It's really a shame, and it's a very disappointing outcome.
Okay, and then speaking of disappointing, Proposition 115, which was to prohibit abortions after 22 weeks here in Colorado, that actually went down. 59%, almost 60% of the people here in Colorado voted that people can have abortions after 22 weeks. We know that the baby can feel pain at that time. I'm just astounded on this. We'll continue on, though. We're getting short on time. Proposition 116, the state income tax reduction. Okay, that looks like that's going to pass because people want to keep more of their own money, Rick.
That's right. I was expecting this to fail, looks like it's going to pass. And I'm glad. It's a nice win for John Caldera and the Independence Institute, which put it on the ballot. I fully supported it. I think it's going to be a good thing. It'll put a little more pressure on the state budget, but that's not a bad thing. But it's ironic that we voted ourselves a tax cut, and then two propositions later, we voted ourselves a new tax. So,
yes, and that is on Proposition 118, that paid family leave. That is winning handily, and that's going to be, right off the bat, about a 1% payroll tax. Part of it will be paid by the employee. Part of it will be paid by the employer, and it puts in place the power to tax in an unelected director, Patty. It's astounding on that Proposition 118.
Small businesses are going to be decimated on this. We've already seen what COVID-19 has done for small business. A lot of our friends have gone out of business. This is going to put a lot more.
And that's why I could not be, going back to the Gallagher Amendment, when they say that they were working to help small businesses, and I look at the people that's proposing this stuff, it's like, I don't believe that. Going back to Proposition 117, voter approval for certain new state enterprises. Again, this is a great win. It looks like that's going to pass 52%.
And I wonder if, you know, this Proposition 118 is a state enterprise. So will it now have to go through another vote of the people because Proposition 117 passed?
Aha, that could be.
So I hope so, because that gives us I just want to point out that millions of dollars came in from out of state to put Proposition 118 on the ballot. And I think that a lot of money went to support it from out of state, and very little money in state was spent to oppose it. So this is another thing that has been brought to Colorado by out-of-state progressive organizations that is going to have a significant impact on Colorado people, and yet the people that funded it are all in New York and Washington, D.C. and other places, that they don't have to pay this tax, and they're not going to ever benefit from this program, and it really speaks to the pernicious influence of out-of-state money in Colorado politics.
We need to be smarter, my friends. We need to be more informed and smarter. Let's just run through very quickly Lauren Boebert. It looks like she is going to win her seat for Congress, which is great. These really terrific DA candidates that we had, Matt Durkin, Tim McCormick, John Kellner. It looks like Matt and Tim were not successful in their campaigns. John Kellner, do we know where we're at right now?
Looks like it's very, very close right now. I don't see a clear winner on that one.
Okay. Patty, what other races do you think we should highlight? I think the Douglas County Commissioner races are important.
Yes, and both George Teal and Laura Thomas won.
And they were, let's see, Laura 58% and George at 54%. And then RTD District, it looks like Ken McHollick was not reelected. Doug Tisdale was elected. And anything else, Rick, that you think that we should do on any of these other races here?
Not really. I think we've covered the important ones. I'm glad that we retained red control over the Douglas County Board County Commission. That was very important to me.
And I do
think Ken Buck is winning, which is good.
Yep. And Doug Lamborn won handily. Yep. Casper Stockham did not win, but I think he had a good showing. And then Steve House lost to Jason Crow. Let's see, am I missing any of the others?
I think that's all of them.
That's all of them. Okay. And then, of course, Corey Gardner lost to John Hickenlooper. Patty Kurgan and Rick Turnquist. Patty, thank you so much for being in studio and for all the great work that you do.
Oh, thank you, Kim.
Really appreciate it. And Rick, it's great to have you in studio as well. It was a good voter's guide. I'm thinking next time we need to push it out even further. I know a lot of people really appreciated it. I'm disappointed in the results.
I am too. It just goes to show we do have a lot of work ahead of us, and let's take a little time to refresh our energy and then hit the road running later this year and into next year.
And I would like to give you both, Rick and Kim, kudos for the effort, because as you saw just yesterday, Kim, there was a listener in Woodland Park who went out of his way to contact you because he was still unsure about something and he wanted to make the right choice. And the fact that he came to you, and albeit Rick, that spoke a lot to me.
Well, and we had a good conversation, and a shout out to Chuck. I really appreciated the conversation as well. And my friends, I had a long quote from Wendell Willkie that we don't have time to do, but I want to say we're praying for a miracle. God bless America. He's had his hand on this country since the beginning, and I don't think he's going to let us down yet. So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry. But tell them if I don't survive, I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, The Source AM and FM, AM 560 and 100.7 FM, 560thesource.com.